talking about the national championship game. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I shared my thoughts last segment. Waiting for your thoughts as well. In the meantime, here is a different point of view for you. He is all over it. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is Pat Forty. Pat, good to have you back. How are you?
Good to be with you, Mr. Rome. Thank you.
Pat, great to have you. I appreciate you making time. I know it's a busy day for you. So after a very long wait, Pat, we're finally a few hours away from the national championship game. What is the vibe like in New Orleans right now?
Oh, it is like festive to a feverish pitch, I think you would say. The French Quarter is always wild when you have a national championship game down here or a Sugar Bowl. When LSU is playing in it, it's up to another level, that you just really don't see much of anywhere else. So it is really a high, high level of anticipation from LSU fans. They haven't won a national title since 2007. This may be the best team in school history. But there's a lot of Clemson people here as well, and they're fired up. You know, they haven't seen their team lose for a couple of years. So a lot of confidence, a lot of anticipation for tonight.
We're talking to Pat Forty. So, Pat, in theory, the national championship game is played on a neutral field. But as you point out, we're talking about, a 90-minute drive from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. So how significant is the home field advantage for LSU?
Well, we'll see how many people get in. I think that certainly it will be more LSU than Clemson, probably by a pretty substantial margin. But I'm also kind of wondering if spending 2 weeks or 16 days steeped in this home atmosphere, basically, might almost be a detriment for LSU, because that's a lot of time to hear people telling you about winning the championship and doing it in New Orleans, doing it at home. And I think in this situation, I'd rather be Clemson getting away from all of that for 4 or 5 days leading up to the game than having been here and listened to it all. Now, if that all goes away, if Clemson can't even snap the ball without, jumping off sides because they can't hear. So we'll see exactly how intense the atmosphere is in the dome. I'm not sure yet.
We're talking about Pat Forty, talking with Pat Forty. Pat, in terms of the matchup itself, Joe Burrow had a historic season. He was absolutely incredible. And there's a lot of things that could be said about him, but I don't think that anything is more accurate than what Clemson defensive coordinator Brett Venables said about him. Quote, "Joe Burrow is not some slappy," end quote. What do you think concerns Venables the most about Burrow?
I think several things. First of all, Venables is the best game player defensive coordinator in college football. He confuses teams. He disguises blitzes and coverages. And it's hard to do against LSU because, A, Burrow is so smart, and, B, LSU lines up so fast that they basically make you kind of show your hand before the snap. And so a lot of that element of surprise and disguise, I think, will be challenged here. So, Burrow, not only accurate, tough, poised, but a good athlete, too, and that's the other thing. If they do get pressure on him, he can run away from it, as can Trevor Lawrence. These are both very athletic quarterbacks.
We're talking to Pat Forty. So, Pat, what about that? Like, Venables has said that LSU's system is designed to get the defense to show what they're going to do before they do it. As you point out, Venables is as good as what he does as anybody else. So how do you expect him to counteract that? How much activity are you expecting to see before every single snap?
Yeah, I think if you're sitting at home as a fan wondering kind of what to look for, I think it's that. The game inside the game in the 5 to 10 seconds between lining up and the ball being snapped, and how many people are moving around for Clemson. Is Joe Burrow moving to shifting protections in response? And then, what happens when it gets snapped? And I think that, Venables will have some surprises for him, no doubt about it. The question is, are they effective surprises? This is not their best defensive line by any stretch. That was last year when they had three guys drafted in the first round off the defensive line. So how do they come up with pressure? Do they have to bring extra guys to get in Joe Burrow's face? And then what does that cost them on the back end of coverage?
We're talking to Pat Forty. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Pat, one more thought about LSU. I mean, it's so easy to focus on Burrow, but when you look at the rest of the talent they have on offense, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, they got five NFL guys. They've got three wide receivers who will play in the NFL. They've got a tight end, Thaddeus Moss. His dad is Randy Moss, who's just come on incredibly well as the season has progressed. And then they've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, who, if his hamstring is healed all the way, he's another major threat. He can catch the ball. He can He can run. He can block. He can do everything. So the talent around Burrow is elite, no doubt about it. But I would also say the same thing about the talent around Trevor Lawrence. All of those receivers are excellent, and the running back, Travis Etienne, as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, I think Etienne's better.
All right, so on that side, Pat Forte joining us. You have a really interesting piece up right now, Pat, on SI.com. I want to ask you about Clemson defensive back Nolan Turner, who iced the game against Ohio State with that interception. Nolan is the son of Kevin Turner, the former NFL player who passed away 4 years ago at the age of 46. Kevin played fullback in a really physical and violent way. He was diagnosed with ALS and ultimately CTE. So what was it like to talk with Nolan about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the family has had a very conflicted relationship with football. Football, you know, doctors looked at the autopsy results from Kevin Turner and feel absolutely certain that the unbelievable number of head-to-head blows that he endured as a player, he was a special teams head hunter, he was a fullback, he was, you know, a lot of collisions played a major part in his death. And so, you know, how does his son feel about playing that sport? And he loves it. He said, I love it too much. I'm not going to give it up. It's what I want to do. He said it was awful watching what happened to his dad, but, you know, he tries to play a little bit safer, but you're a safety. You're still going to be colliding with people. You're going to be making hits. And, you know, I think every time that he makes a tackle, his mom and grandfather probably are wincing and just hoping that, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Pat Forte joining us, and that piece is up right now on SI.com. You know, he had the interception, Pat, that ended that game against Ohio State, and Dabo said, quote, "The cool thing is, I told him right before, hey, you're going to have the game-winning interception. Get your dadgum head up," end quote. I mean, it's a vintage Dabo story, Pat. What do you make of how Dabo has coached and guided this particular team over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. You know, this team is probably not as talented as last year's overall, but they've won on the same level, and here they are again. And I do think that Dabo has a confidence in himself and in his players that really inspires them to play at a higher level. You know, and he's things like that. You know, like Nolan Turner was beaten for a big touchdown early in the fourth quarter. Dabo comes over to him afterwards and says, hey, you know, get your head up. You're going to make the interception that wins the game. And by golly, he did. You know, and I just think Dabo has that sort of charisma, this infectious sort of belief that his team's going to win. And I really do think it trickles down into the locker room. He might come across as a little bit of a hayseed, if you will, but he's not. You know, I think he likes kind of projecting that image. But he's a smart, savvy, charismatic guy.
I was gonna say, Pat, where do you come out? I mean, like, you've seen everything. I know you can see through anything. I happen to love Dabo, but when you look at him, what is he? I mean, is he that savvy guy? Is he that hayseed? Is he something in between? You've covered everybody. What do you think when you look at him?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do think that he likes that image that he projects. You know, a little bit self-effacing and a little bit, you know, like I just bounced off the turnip truck, and it's not the case, you know. I mean,
not at all.
In fact, if you go back to between his playing days and when he started coaching, he was making a lot of money selling commercial real estate. You know, I mean, he knows his way around things, and you know, so I think that carries over. He's a, you know, his assistant coaches, he lets them get a ton of credit for game plan and scheme and that sort of thing, and they should. But Dabo is a much smarter guy, much savvier guy than he really cares to project at all to anybody.
So, Pat, before I let you go, like, the masses are running to LSU, understandably so, as you and I talked about. They are loaded on both sides of the ball. But Clemson has won 29 straight. And when you do that, you start to develop a belief that you simply cannot lose. When you're dealing with college athletes, how powerful is that mindset?
I think it's huge. You know, I really do. Kids this age, you know, there are a few things less predictable in the world than 18 to 22-year-old males. And so if you can put some doubt into the other team, as good as they've been, if you can knock LSU's confidence a little bit, slow them down enough, get a turnover here or there, get a red zone stop, and make some things happen for yourself, I just think that unwavering confidence and belief that they are going to win helps them in the long run, and I think it's going to help them tonight.
Pat, before I get your prediction, let me ask you this. If the game were to turn into a shootout, can Clemson's offense stay with LSU's offense?
Yeah, well, I think that I think that a shootout's entirely possible. And yeah, I think they can, because their weapons are as good. You know, I mean, their receivers are outstanding. Justin Ross, T. Higgins, you know, Travis Etienne, as I said, I think he's the best back in this game. And, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is right there with Joe Burrow. Is, you know, he may not have had as good a season as Burrow, but he's as good a player as Burrow is. And we've seen him do it when the chips were down. He goes 96 yards against Ohio State to win the game. You know, he'll run when he needs to. He's tough. He's smart. So, yes, I think that they can stay with them in a shootout, and I expect it to be a bit of a shootout.
All right, spoiler alert, you've called your shot. You predicted that Clemson will win. You kind of just laid it out for me, but is there anything else? What have you seen that makes you feel like Clemson's going to win?
You know, I think that they have been so solid defensively that they're going to get enough stops. And, you know, the LSU defense I don't think is as good, and they're playing an offense that's almost as good as LSU's. So, you know, I think that they're just, if there's one slight weak link in this, it's the LSU defense. And I think that Clemson will do just enough to get enough stops and win the game. I picked 37-35. So I think there's going to be plenty of points and hopefully a lot of drama.
Pat Forte is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is there breaking it down. Pat, really appreciate it. Like I said, I know it's a really busy day for you, so thanks for spending time. Great job.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Pat Forte. He's a pro's pro right there.